Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I am Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, this is a good opportunity to do just that. Give us a call right now because the lines are open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thank you, Bob, and we do have open lines, and go ahead and fill those phone lines right now at 844-322-2742. We're talking about the resurrection, how that opened up the door for Christ to make us alive together with him, and then once we've been made alive, he sends his spirit to live inside of us. Now, all of this happens at that moment of salvation. So we're declared righteous, we're made alive, and then God's spirit comes to live inside of us. So we need to spend a lot of time just trying to weigh out the implications of that in our day-to-day lives. And I think that's one of the problems that we have here in America as far as the church is concerned. We don't dig in.
Yeah.
We don't really open up this Word of God and ask the Spirit of God to really teach us the truth about what Christ has accomplished for us. But when we do, we find out it's much bigger than we ever dreamed or imagined. I mean, how many people out there just reduce salvation to nothing more than forgiveness of sins?
Sure, yeah.
And
well, that is true. But it's a two-sided coin.
Yes, it is a two-sided coin. I'm having this coughing attack, but and we don't even think about forgiveness in the way that the Bible describes it. So we look at, hey, we've done some sins. We know we need to be punished. Jesus took that punishment for us, and now that's wiped off our slate. So it's all external. It has nothing to do with what goes on in inside. But God's in the business of reconciling us unto himself. Mm-hmm. And so he had to do something inside of us to bring about that reconciliation. So he brought it about externally through the blood of Christ, and then he takes that internal and gives us that spirit of reconciliation,
right,
where we're not at odds with God anymore. We're on the same page. We're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it also means that we've died to sin. That old man has been crucified. And that's what Paul tells us in Romans 6. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So that's the great hope of the gospel right there.
Yeah.
We're going to get resurrection bodies just like Jesus got a resurrection body. For we know that our old self, now who's the old self? Well, that's the law. That was the lost me, the one that was dead spiritually, the one that was separated from the life of God. That was the old me. That was that old self. Well, that old self was crucified with Jesus, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So what is another element of this forgiveness? It's the fact that we've been released, set free from sin and death. Not only the penalty, but the power. So we are no longer slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So at one time we were under the control of sin and death. As Paul later goes on to say, sin shall no longer be your master. So at one time, sin was our master. So we were joined to sin.
Yeah.
And there was no way for us to break free from that relationship. So what did God do? He sent Jesus to die. And when we believe him, we are placed into that death. So we died with him. So when we died to that old relationship of sin and death. And because we've died, we're no longer slaves to sin, but we have been set free once and for all. Now, that's good news. So we need to take that with us on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because sin still lives in these members of ours. Sure. We still have the desires of the flesh. We live in a world that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. So it has its ways that we used to walk in. Mm-hmm. And so those are all around us. And they're going to keep knocking at our door. But we have to realize, hey, I'm dead to that. Right. I am dead to you, temptation. Right. I am dead to you, desires of the flesh. I am dead to you, sin. My obligation is now to the Lord. Why? Because he's the one that is now in my life. He's the one that is now ruling and reigning through me.
And that is good news, as you said, Bob. And friends, it's the kind of good news you hear every day on Basic Gospel. If you'd like to be a part of the broadcast, if you're listening to the broadcast at 5 after 3 Central Time, well, you're hearing it live, and we want you to come in and pose your question or your particular issue. That number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, friends, this message of love, life, liberty, and grace comes forth in abundance every day that Basic Gospel is on the air. And we need to ensure that this message has a secure place on the airwaves of your Christian radio station. We are nearing the end of our fiscal year right now, and you can double the impact of your gift by donating to help us fill up a $35,000 matching gift offer. Every dollar you give today and by the end of the month, the 30th, will be doubled. So we ask you to help us get the word out, because this new covenant message that you hear every day on Basic Gospel must go forward. Others must hear it. So just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of our new resource called Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. So please make your gift today if you can. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from Facebook viewer Lisa. She says, what does it mean in 1 John 5:15 where it says, ask and you will receive? That's from Lisa on Facebook.
Well, that's a great question, and in the context, it's really a logical conclusion to the good news that John is giving us right there in that particular section of the letter. So he's talking about the testimony that God has given us through his Spirit, and he gives us that testimony, and it's this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So we have life in Jesus Christ. He is our very life. And so he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So God wants to give us that assurance.
Right.
We are eternally secure when we're saved. Sometimes our minds don't think that way. And so that assurance is a little shaky inside of us. But these words and the testimony of God's Spirit brings us back to square, so to speak, and gives us that assurance that we need. So he says, I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you have eternal life, if you're in the Son, and you have the Son, then you have the life, then this is the confidence that you have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if we're in Christ, Christ is in us, we know that he's going to hear us. That's good. That's good news. Why? Because we're his children. And so if he hears us, it goes on to say in verse 15, that whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for of him. Mm-hmm. So if we've asked anything according to his will, we know that's going to be answered. Yeah. That's the confidence that we have in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ, Christ is in you. Christ's Spirit is going to be renewing your mind so that you can know what the will of God is for you, that it is good, pleasing, and acceptable. And as you begin to know that, you begin to pray that back to God. And as you pray that, you have the confidence that he hears you. And because he hears you, then you know that you're going to have what you've asked of him.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. And Lisa, I hope you're hearing that good news here on Basic Gospel. And again, friends, open lines, 844-322-2742. Carl listens on WDWD in Atlanta, our relatively new station in there in the Peachtree City, your old stomping ground.
That's right.
There,
that's
in
right.
Marietta, of course. But his question is about alcohol. It says, does the Bible say it's okay to drink but don't get drunk?
Well, we see that a lot. I think the best passage is probably Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to all kinds of things. Rather be controlled by the Spirit. And there's a reason for that. When you get drunk on wine or alcohol, that substance begins to control you. You make a lot of dumb decisions under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah.
That's why there's laws against it when you're driving.
Sure.
If you're driving under the influence of alcohol, you're going to make some bad decisions that can be harmful to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a law against that, and there's wisdom against that as well. You don't want to be controlled by alcohol.
Right.
So if you drink in moderation, there's nothing in the Bible that prohibits that. It just talks about don't be under the control, under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving over your human powers, what God has put in your hands, you're giving over that to a substance that isn't even living.
Right.
It doesn't even know you. So you're putting powers into that to control you, and it does.
And it's kind of like an idol, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
That, yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of things in the Word of God that would say not to get drunk.
Yeah.
And I think we do wise to heed that,
mm-hmm.
most definitely.
Yeah. Carl, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And again, open lines, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
I just have a quick question, and I really enjoyed your introduction today. It was very mind-helping.
Well, I'm glad to know that. Thanks, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Well, I need to hear it, so thank you so much. But I just have a quick question, and I'm having trouble getting it out like I did with Stephen. I can't get it out now. Whoever
is not against us is for us.
Yes.
So that passage, we see that in Mark chapter 9, verse 40. Well, that whole passage, it says, "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." And Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward." So that's where that's found, Mary Jo.
Mark 4.
Mark chapter 9, verse 40.
Mark chapter 9. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Good to hear from Mary Jo. And, you know, friends, Bob, we're only 10 days away from the end of our fiscal year. And talk to our listeners a little bit about our financial need by the 30th.
Well, it's urgent. We need people to step up and help us now, today. We started the month, and our target for the month of June was $200,000, and certainly we've taken a big chunk out of that, but we still have a ways to go.
Yeah.
So we need a lot of people to step up and to give, and to give generously. You may be listening, and this ministry has been a benefit to you, and you want to see it continue. You know, a $50 gift, a $100 gift, a $500 gift is going to mean a lot to Basic Gospel. So come be a part of what God is doing through this outreach. The Word of God, this gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power unto salvation, first to the Jew and to the Gentile. So that includes all of us. We hear a lot of messages, but they're absent of power.
Right.
Why? Because it's not the gospel. There's only one message that's filled with the power of God to draw people unto himself and to give them eternal life, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So invest in that. That's what we're asking you to do, and we need a lot of people to do that right now so that we can finish our fiscal year strong. June 30th is coming up really quickly,
10 days.
Mm-hmm. So let's do all that we can to keep this good news going out through the airwaves of Basic Gospel.
And you can do that right now, friends, by clicking donate when you visit basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you this brand new resource called Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. So again, visit basicgospel.net and join us, friends. Become a partner by clicking that donate sign.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Fort Worth and talk to Larry. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I just kind of wanted to make a statement. I know I've been dealing with my own sin and my own things, but I've been reading the book of Jeremiah, and I want to talk about how faithful God is. A pastor friend of mine told me to read the book of Jeremiah, and I'm reading it. It's talking about how Israel was worshiping all these other gods, and they were prostituting themselves all over Israel to all these gods and idols they made, and worshiping Baal, and they were even performing child sacrifices. And God talks about destroying Israel and what he's going to do. And Jeremiah keeps coming out every day and standing in the city gate and talking about the destruction of Israel. And every day when he talks about these things at the end, he always says, but if you repent and turn back to me, then I'll heal you. If you repent and turn away from your sin, I'll forgive you, every single time, you know. And you think about what those people were doing and worshiping other gods and even sacrificing their own children, and God was still willing to forgive them if they just turn away from their sins.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Larry. And here's the good news, that what Jeremiah was talking about was really pointing a finger toward what we now have in Jesus. So Jeremiah was prophesying to the people under the old covenant, and yet in the middle of that, he tells us about a new covenant, that a time is coming when a new covenant is going to go into effect. And when Jesus raised that cup on that Passover supper, that Last Supper, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. So Jeremiah said, a time is coming. Jesus said, the time is here. And here's the good news about this new covenant that we live in, and talk about the faithfulness of God in forgiveness. It says this, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So here's the good news, Larry.
News that you hear at Basic Gospel every day.
Is that all of your sins have already been forgiven in Christ. Christ's sacrifice, his shed blood on the cross, was sufficient to take away your sin, not in part, but the whole, as the song says.
Yeah.
And you bear it no more. And you are a forgiven person. And God has given you the promise that he will never remember your sins. He will remember your sins no more. Now, talk about good news. Talk about faithfulness. That's faithfulness, isn't it?
Yeah, and I know I struggle with things, and I've even struggled with addiction. And it seems like no matter how much I mess up, you know, when I repent, he's always there. And he's definitely a lot better than I am, a lot more faithful than I am. And I don't think anybody deserves his love, but he gives it anyway. It's like,
that's exactly right.
I almost think even if you wanted to get rid of it, you couldn't.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God. He's poured it into your heart.
Yeah.
It's there, baby.
When you're faithless, he is faithful.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So, well, Larry, it sounds like you're just learning so much about what Christ has accomplished for you. And it you can obviously hear it's just making this huge difference in your life. It's giving you a sense of confidence in your relationship. It's teaching you to rest in what Christ has already accomplished. And, boy, that is just fantastic. And I am so glad to hear that in your voice, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, you are so welcome. Let me do this. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. just to say thank you for calling today. And I think you will really enjoy reading it and just identifying with a lot of the things that I went through and my Christian experience. And so we want to send that to you. Okay, my friend?
Okay.
You hold on. We'll get that information and get it to you as quickly as we can. Hold the line, Larry.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Larry. And friends, if you'd like to get your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you can do that by going to our website. Right on the home page, you'll find a prominent link, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, by my friend Bob Christopher. Bob from North Carolina, Connie, had a question about Matthew 16, verses 18 through 20. She says she can't quite understand those, and would we be so kind as to share our thoughts on that?
Well, it just happens to be one of my favorite passages in all the gospel accounts, and it's a story that takes place in northern Israel in Caesarea Philippi. So Jesus takes his disciples there, and it's not an easy journey to get there. Mm-hmm. So he ministers in Capernaum and around the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee, and this is probably a 2 or 3 day walk to get up to Caesarea Philippi, but he chooses to take them there. And I think there are reasons when you know what was going on in that area. It was there was a lot of idolatry. There were high places that they were sacrificing to foreign gods. They were doing all sorts of evil things there. And then there was this big cave in a rock face, mm-hmm. and they called that the gates of hell.
Yeah.
And many thought that that was the entry into the underworld. Mm-hmm. And so they sacrificed during the Roman times. They sacrificed to the god Pan, you know, half man, half goat. And so there were all sorts of evil things going on. And so Jesus took his disciples there, and he's basically saying there's only one way to escape the corruption of the world, and that's by making the good confession concerning Jesus. So he asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He answered correctly. So Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by Father in heaven. So the identity of Jesus is not something that we can discern on our own.
Right.
We can't figure it out. It has to be revealed to us. So God the Father revealed it to Peter and the disciples, and he's revealing it to us today. So when we make the good confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's because God has revealed that to us through his Spirit. So he says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overcome it. So he's talking about the powers that are in this world, the forces, the powers of darkness that were represented right there at Caesarea Philippi. Mm-hmm. He's saying, as strong as those powers are, and as strong as they've been within the people of Israel itself, those powers are going to be broken mm-hmm. through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they will never be able to hold back what God is going to be doing through those who confess Jesus as the Christ. So then he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. That's to Peter, and he used those keys to open up the gospel message to the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Samaritans in the book of Acts. And what is that gospel message? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's not about binding the strong man. It's
right.
not about trying to tie down and wrestle and tie down mm-hmm. Satan and his demons. This is the power of the gospel to bind up the brokenhearted, and to mend the brokenhearted, and to set captives free.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel does. So wherever that gospel goes, we're going to see this binding of hearts, this loosing of people from the powers of darkness, the powers of sin and death.
Thank you, Bob. Good thoughts and good news from Basic Gospel again, friends. And I want to remind you that a $35,000 matching gift will go a long way to help us meet our fiscal year-end need. Every dollar that you give between now and the 30th, midnight the 30th, is going to be double. So please make your most generous gift to help fill up that offer and keep the good news going forward. Please help with your gift today if you can, today or anytime at basicgospel.net, a prominent donate link right there on the homepage, again, basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that the listener line is always open for you. If you have a question, call anytime, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow as we continue in our study, The Power of Eight, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.